Welcome to Good News on Catholic Spirit Radio, a program for teens and almost teens to better understand that the gospel of Jesus Christ is relevant in their lives. And it's a place where your questions about faith and religion can be answered. And now, here's your host, Deacon Al.
Thank you, John, and good evening, everyone, and welcome to Good News here on Catholic Spirit Radio. This is Deacon Al Lundy. I'm a permanent deacon here in the Peoria Diocese, one of, I think our count right now is 175, maybe something close to that. There's a lot of us running around. We just had our big convocation last week. I should have taken a head count, and I didn't do that. But there's a lot of us. We have a current class in our diocese. I think there's 11 currently, and they're not going to be ordained for 3 years. But yeah, you know, if you feel called, if you're a married man or a single person, and you're looking for a way to give a deeper, more mature service to your community, your faith, your Christ, consider, you know, prayerfully consider, are you being called to the diaconate? I'll be honest with you. I've never worked so hard and I've never been so happy. The last 7 years since I've been ordained, and then formation was 5 years before that. So for the last 12 years, I'll tell you what, they work your butt off. The pay is lousy. The pay is non-existent. I shouldn't say that. There are a few deacons that are in paid positions in the diocese, but out of the 100 and whatever of us, there's maybe 3 deacons that are in paid positions, maybe 4. It's the most gratifying time in my life I've ever had, and I've had a great life. I must say, I have a wonderful marriage. I spent just shy of 50 years in the scouting program, which I love dearly. It's changed a lot now, but that's a whole nother discussion we probably never get into. But I'm so disappointed in that. But I had a wonderful time in the program and learned wonderful things. And I have to say, it led me. My time in scouting led me to my time in ministry. It really kickstarted it. But my time as a deacon has been a lot of work and a lot of hours, but just so personally rewarding. There's nothing to me greater in the world than baptizing a child, and that's one of the few real perks of being in the clergy, is to get to marry people, and I've gotten to do that about. I think I've done about 27 marriages now, but I've done 70 baptisms in 7 years. And this is the incredible part. To me, this is one of those God winks where I wouldn't call it a miracle. I don't even know that I'd call it intercession. It's just, there are moments in your life, if you pay attention, where God just lets you know, I'm nearby. You know, this is cool. I helped do this. I did this for you, right? 70 baptisms. Every child I've baptized has, or let's reverse it, none of the children I've ever baptized have cried during the baptism. Not a one. I've had them cry before, and I've had them cry after. Heck, I've had them cry the first time they saw me. You know, for those of you who don't know, I have a face for radio. So it's not that I'm great to look at, but when you lean them over the baptismal font, and you say the words of baptism, you know, you say their name, say, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Every single one of them have stopped crying, and most smile. A few have giggled. Wow. The love of Christ is written on the human heart. This isn't something you have to go out and discover. It's something we are born with. We are all God's creation. And so there's some of God's truth written on everyone's heart. And I think even children are aware of that. I've had people say, well, kids are born atheists because they don't know God. And I'm convinced that's not true. I think that they have a greater understanding than we give them credit for. Can it be measured? No. Can we show the evidence of it explicitly? No, but implicitly, yes. I think the fact that what I've seen in the face of children as I baptize them, and we're talking infants, for the most part. I mean, I think the oldest child I've ever baptized was six. So I'm dealing mostly with infants. They have a great understanding of what's going on. And even with siblings, when I go to baptize their baby brother or sister, they are so in awe of what's happening. I have them come over and hold my sleeve as I baptize the infant so that they have that connection to their baby brother, baby sister, that they were involved in the baptism as well. And these children are in absolute awe of what's going on. And, I just see Christ in that face as I'm baptizing children. And so, pray about a vocation, either in, if you're a male, a vocation in the diaconate, if you're a young man, the priesthood, even we've got people now heading to the priesthood in their 40s and their 50s. We've got people who are discerning, for the priesthood. God calls all of us to some sort of vocation, whether it be the religious life, the ordained life, the married life. We're all called to a vocation. What's your calling? Take the time to sit down and listen to God, the voice of God. He doesn't shout at you. He doesn't scream at you. It's little things. It's small whispers. It's little nudges in different directions. But we're all called to holiness. And maybe the holiness you're called to is assisting in the clergy and in spreading the ministry of Christ. Pray about it. It's worth your time, and it's certainly worth the effort. We're speaking of effort. My garden, John, is coming up.
Really?
I'm telling you, we're just barely. We haven't even hit spring yet, have we? We're still a couple weeks away, I think, from spring. And you would not believe the amount of greenery in my yard already. Yeah, I've got. I don't know if you're familiar with surprise lilies, they're also called painted ladies. We call them. I like the third name, resurrection lilies, right? So they come up. They throw all this great greenery up, and then it dies, completely goes away, and then around June, mid June, we'll come out and we'll see some small flower buds breaking the soil. And within 3 days, these things are 2 feet tall and throwing this little pink lily off the end of them. They're gorgeous. Well, I have hundreds. If anybody wants resurrection lilies, email us at goodnews@catholicspiritradio.com. I have hundreds of these things in my yard. I can't get rid of them. I mean, there are some that I want, but some they multiply bulbs, and these bulbs just become little bulblets, and they just spread like crazy. I've got hundreds of them. I would happily give them away if some of you want some of these. They're amazing, but they're resurrection lilies because they die, and then they rise again. Okay, so it's mid-March. The greenery on these things is already over a foot tall. I mean, they're just, I can't believe it. And I've got other things. Tulips are coming up. I got some daffodils showing already. It's just amazing. But that's spring. You know, it's new life. And we're heading into Easter. We're just a couple weeks away from Easter. And man, it's all about new life. You know, it's all about the risen Christ. And it's not just Christ coming back to life from the tomb a couple thousand years ago. It's Christ coming back to life in us. It's Christ rising out of us that we're looking to. It's our awakening that happens at Easter, if we let it, if we work towards that. So enjoy the upcoming Easter. Make it special. Let Christ bloom in your heart this year. And you do that through prayer, through charity, almsgiving, through fasting. Before you feast, you have to fast. So if you haven't started your Lenten obligation to forsake something in order to think more about Christ and less about yourself, make that decision today. Give something meaningful up today, something that is a barricade between you and the love of Christ, something that's keeping you from, maybe it's something that keeps you from going to Mass on Sundays. Maybe it's something that keeps you from setting aside an hour to pray each day. Maybe it's something that keeps you from acting in a Christ-like way towards someone you don't like, or you have a disagreement with at work or at school or in your family, give that up. Become more Christ-like. Be forgiving. Be more accepting, and you'll be amazed. You do that for a few weeks, and it suddenly becomes a new habit, and it makes you a new person, and a new person in Christ, and that's the hope of Easter. That's the whole reason why we have this great feast. That's why it's not just one day. That's why it's around for weeks, because it's that important. And that's because, we're that important to Christ, and Christ's desire is that he be that important, to all of us. Our readings this weekend, we're going to go with the optional readings. So rather than the readings from cycle B, we're going to go to the readings of cycle A. Not all parishes are going to do this. It's an option. But the ones I serve make this difference so that we can do the Gospel of John. Once again, really, really long readings. So what we're going to do right now is take a break for these short messages, and then we'll be back with the readings from the Mass. You're listening to Good News on Catholic Spirit Radio.
Stay tuned. Good News will be right back on Catholic Spirit Radio.
We are the Easter people. That joyful quote from Pope St. John Paul II is truly beautiful. Catholic Spirit Radio has plans to broadcast more quotes, facts, and personal stories about this holy and beloved man. Hi, I'm Debbie Giorgiani from EWTN Radio, and I will again be the host of Catholic Spirit Radio's Carathon from April 2nd through the 5th. Our focus this year is St. John Paul II, so you won't want to miss a single day of our special programming. We'll have plenty of other things to keep you entertained as well, including local and national guests, a gift for every donor, and daily drawings. Pope John Paul II reminds us that each of us are called to evangelize, and when you make a donation during the Carathon, you are helping to pay bills, update equipment, and create resources which share the good news of our faith. The Catholic Spirit Radio Network does good work for you. They are a nonprofit and definitely need your financial and prayerful help to continue broadcasting throughout central and northern Illinois. Spend time with us for Catholic Spirit Radio's Carathon and show that you care on April 2nd through the 5th.
If you have some extra time, put those hours to use for the Lord. With Catholic Spirit Radio's growing radio network, we have 3 new behind-the-scenes volunteer positions. If you're interested, call the station. 309-807-2427.
Volunteers are specifically needed for each of these roles. First, an energetic and experienced event manager is needed to coordinate our spring and fall on-air fundraisers.
Give us a call if that's you.
Second, Catholic Spirit Radio needs 1 to 2 hours every 2 or 3 weeks from a volunteer or a team of 2 for lightweight general cleaning at our normal location.
Give us a call if you and a friend are interested.
And third, we are in need of 1 to 2 spirit liaisons from each of these areas: Rockford, Harvard, Morris, DeKalb, Sycamore, Lincoln, Pontiac, and Clinton. These individuals will assist with informational tables at your local events.
Give us a call if you can help out.
Become part of our radio mission in 2024.
Volunteer at Catholic Spirit Radio.
309-807-2427.
Hey, this is Father Mitch Pacwa, host of Open Line Wednesday. For me, Catholic Radio is a chance to speak and hear our Catholic doctrine, consider it, think about it, apply it to everyday life, and be blatantly in the public with it. And I am so thankful to you for being an important part of the Lord's plan by participating and listening. Invite others to listen and hear Open Line.
And welcome back to Good News. This is Deacon Al. We're looking at the readings from the 4th week of Lent. And we're going to be looking at a reading from the prophet Micah. And the gospel is from John. Because of the length of the gospel, we're going to pass on the second reading today. But I encourage you to go online or go to your missalette and read that and see what you can glean from there for yourself. I especially like today's gospel. I always enjoy it when Jesus has his little confrontations with the Pharisees. This is really a David and Goliath. Every time Jesus comes blow to blow with the Pharisees. And he does it in such simple, subtle ways to kind of put them in their place and let them know that they're on the wrong track. And if you remember the story that you're going to hear in the gospel, this is really one of the straws that breaks the camel's back. This activity, this healing that Jesus is going to do, and then the raising of Lazarus. These two activities drew such a crowd and so many people to believe in Christ that it really honked the Pharisees off. And this is what really made them say, we got to get rid of this guy. And it also showed the divinity of Jesus, because this is not something that just any prophet on the street was going to be able to do. Certainly nothing the Pharisees or the scribes had ever accomplished. And it just, it really did make a lot of the locals want to make Christ king. And that's what Palm Sunday is all about. They weren't just kidding around. I mean, they really thought they're going to make this guy the king. And that's not what Jesus came for. That's not what he wanted. But that's what the Pharisees were afraid of. They really thought this guy's out to steal all of our power and all of our authority and all of our wealth that we get from that power and authority. And we got to get rid of him. The other thing was they were really afraid he was going to honk off the Romans. And he wasn't to that point yet, but they had a big fear that, that if enough people got riled up over Christ, that there would be an upsurge of, an attempt to usurp the Roman authority, in which case the Romans were going to just slaughter everybody. The Romans were very mean. These were really the bullies on the block when it came to the Western world, and they didn't take demonstrating lightly. They didn't just tell people, okay, that's enough, go home. They couldn't throw tear gas at them or shoot them with rubber bullets or hit them with rubber swords. They would wipe out everybody. And you'll see that 70 years after Christ when they destroy the temple for the final time. What they did to the Israelites was nothing short of incredibly cruel. If you read the stories of that final, siege, it's shocking the kinds of things the Romans did. So that's what the Pharisees are worried about. Jesus is becoming just so overwhelmingly popular. He's either going to be put in charge of everything, or he's going to steal all of their thunder and all of their ability to basically live the life of luxury that the Pharisees were living. And they thought that he was claiming himself to be God. And actually, he did. We heard that last week with the woman at the well. You know, she says, we're waiting for the Messiah. And he says, ta-da. Yeah, you don't have to wait. I'm here. It's me. Ta-da. And within the end of the 2 days that he stayed in that town, everybody agreed. And so now it's starting to get around. The Messiah is here. So that's what we're heading into. So we start with the prophet Micah. So this is, of course, before Christ's time. And the prophet says, I will look to the Lord. I will put my trust in the Lord, my Savior. My God will hear me. Rejoice not over me, O my enemy. Though I have fallen, I will arise. Though I sit in darkness, the Lord is my light. The wrath of the Lord I will endure because I have sinned against him. Until he takes up my cause and establishes my right, he will bring me forth to the light and I will see his justice. The word of the Lord. Just very quickly, whoever you think is suppressing you, whoever you think is punishing you, whoever you think is doing you wrong, don't worry about it. Because if you have Christ on your side, what can anyone do to harm you? And that's what Mike is saying. Don't worry about, I don't care if my enemy lords it over me that he's beaten me down, because that's temporary. The things of Christ are eternal. We have to think beyond our own humanness. If you really want to understand the joy and the love of Christ, you have to let go of your human limitations. You have to really think big picture. And the big picture is, this is our journey. This isn't our home. This is a tent. This lifetime is basically a weekend camp out. Our home, the goal of the journey, the destination, is to be with Christ for eternity. Don't let anything rattle you now, because it's all minor and it's all temporary. And no matter who doesn't like you, you have a God that loves you. How can that even compare? So Mike is saying, I can withstand anything because I have faith in God. And that's what we're called to this Easter season. That's a great message. And if that weren't enough, we're going to turn to the gospel from John. And John says, as Jesus passed by, he saw a blind man from birth. And his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he would be born blind?" That was the big belief, by the way, of the Israelites at that time, that all illnesses, any deformities, were brought about by sin. And that was a huge belief. One of the basics of the Mosaic laws really led you to that belief, that if you had any kind of illness, you're out of sorts with God. And that's why you would be set apart from the rest of the people until you were healed. And that meant that you were right with God. And now you could be welcomed back in to the community. So they say, who sinned, the man or his parents? And Jesus answered, "Neither he nor his parents sinned. It's so that the works of God might be made visible through him. We have to do the works of the one who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. And while I'm in the world, I am the light of the world." And when he had said this, he spat on the ground and made clay with saliva and smeared the clay in his eyes and said to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So he went and washed and came back able to see. Now we're going to pause right there for just a moment, because a couple of things I want you to be aware of. So Jesus is saying that deformities, illnesses, are not caused by sin. We still do that today. We ostracize people who have deformities because, well, there must be something wrong with them. Did you ever think there's nothing wrong with them? With the people who are broken are us for thinking that. God puts these people on earth for a purpose. And the purpose isn't to punish them. The purpose is to enlighten us. The purpose is to teach us about something, about acceptance, about love, about forgiveness. These are blessed people. And it may not seem like it to them. It may not seem like it to you. But I think we need, as Jesus turns it around in this gospel, we have to understand that everyone has a purpose and everyone fulfills a purpose of God. And so this blind man isn't here for punishment. He's there to help teach us something. In this case, he gave Jesus the opportunity to show the healing ministry, the healing love, and the healing power of a divine Christ. And I love the fact that he spits in the mud and makes clay. Think back to Genesis. Where did man come from? Right? Our Creator made us from clay. So how does he fix what's wrong in this, what's the deficit that's in this man? He rebuilds him. He remakes him. He recreates them with the same clay that he is God used to create the man in the first place. So with clay, he's cured him. Now his neighbors and those who had seen him earlier as a beggar said, "Isn't this the one who used to sit and beg?" And some said, "It is." But others said, "No, he just looks like him." And he said, "I am." I love that, "I am," right? So that's another name for God. So they said to him, "How were your eyes opened?" And he replied, "The one called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and told me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' So I went and I washed and I'm able to see." And they said to him, "Where is he?" And he said, "I don't know." I mean, how do you know? He was up to this moment, he was blind, right? He says, "I don't know." So they brought the one who was once blind to the Pharisees. Now here comes the fun part. Now Jesus made clay and opened his eyes on the Sabbath. So then the Pharisees asked him how he was able to see. And he said to them, "He put clay on my eyes and I washed and now I can see." So some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God because he does not keep the Sabbath." The Pharisees are all about rules. They think that justification comes from following the rules. And they don't understand that the rules were there to prepare them for the coming of the Messiah. And the Messiah is here. He's now the fulfillment of the rules. The rules don't control him. Christ controls the rules. Okay. But others said, how can a sinful man do such signs? And there was a division among them. So they said to the blind man again, what do you have to say about him since he opened your eyes? He said, he's a prophet. Now the Jews did not believe that he had been blind and gained his sight until they summoned the parents of the one who had gained his sight. And they asked them, is this your son who you say was born blind? How does he now see? And his parents arrived and said, we know that this is our son, and we know that he was born blind. We don't know how he sees now, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He's of age. It's like, you know, don't ask me. He's the one. He's a grown-up. Talk to the grown-up. So his parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that if anyone acknowledged him as the Christ, he would be expelled from the synagogue. For this reason, his parents said, question him. So a second time, they called to the man who had been blind and said to him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. And he replied, if he's a sinner, I don't know that. One thing I do know is that I was blind and now I see. So they said to him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? And he answered, I already told you and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? I love that line. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become disciples too? Well, they ridiculed him and said, you are that man's disciple? We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but we do not know where this one is from. The man answered and said to them, this is what's so amazing, that you do not know where he's from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if one is devout and does his will, he listens to him. It's unheard of that anyone ever opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he'd not be able to do anything. They answered and said to him, you were born totally in sin, and you're trying to teach us? And they threw him out. When Jesus heard that they'd thrown him out, he found him and said, do you believe in the Son of Man? And he answered and said, who is he, sir, that I may believe in him? And Jesus said to him, you have seen him. The one speaking with you is he. I do believe, Lord, he worshipped him. Then Jesus said, I came into this world for judgment so that those who do not see might see, and those who do see might become blind. Some of the Pharisees who were with him heard this and said to him, surely we are not also blind, are we? And Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you would have no sin. But you are saying we see, so your sin remains. The gospel of the Lord. So if they see what's going on and yet they don't accept him as the Christ, well, they're still blind, is what Jesus is saying. You know, they're still the blind among us. It's good news, though, that there are some that were blind that we'll see. We have coming this Easter, an Easter vigil at our parish alone, we have 11 people coming into the Catholic Church. And that's wonderful. And we see that happening all over the country. And some of them are coming from total blindness. Some were just a little nearsighted. They're coming to us from some of our brothers and sisters in the Protestant faith. But some are coming to us from total atheism or from what we would call pagan religions, coming to Christ. So this is a great example of the blind who are now seeing. But you know, we have people among us now who raised in the faith and have wandered away. They had vision. They had the sight, and now they've chosen to become blind. Things don't change, and that's what's so amazing about the Gospels. The lessons of the Gospels are as effective and as true today as they were 2,000 years ago. Who are you? Are you the blind looking to see? Are you the sighted ones who are blinding yourselves by not accepting Christ into your life? This is a good time of year to be thinking about that. Christ will soon die for your sins to offer you again this gift of salvation. Will you be blind and not see that? Will you be consider yourself sighted and not change, not become a true disciple? So when you hear the gospel this weekend, think about this situation with the blind man. Who are you? Who are you in this story? Are you the Pharisee who, no matter what happens, you're not going to accept the risen Christ? Are you going to be the blind man who's grateful for what's been given him? Are you the parents too afraid to speak on behalf of the love of Christ and his ability to heal us in not only physical, but spiritual ways? Some things to think about. But at the very end, it's all good news. The good news of Christ, who loves you more than anything else in the world. May Almighty God bless you, protect you from all evil, and bring you to everlasting life. This is Deacon Al. Good night.
You've been listening to Good News on Catholic Spirit Radio, a program for teens and almost teens to better understand that the gospel of Jesus Christ is relevant in your life. Submit your questions to Deacon Al at goodnews@catholicspiritradio.com. That's goodnews@catholicspiritradio.com. Deacon will answer your questions about faith and religion. Thank you for listening to Good News on Catholic Spirit Radio.